Our text for tonight's message is found in the book of Isaiah, and we'll be considering reading together Isaiah chapter 63, verse 15 through 64, verse 4. This is the word of God. Look down from heaven and see, from your holy and beautiful habitation, where are your zeal and your might, the stirring of your inner parts and your compassion are held back from me. For you are our Father, through Abraham does not know us, and Israel does not acknowledge us. You, O Lord, are our Father, our Redeemer from of old is your name. O Lord, why do you make us wander from your ways, and harden our hearts so that we fear you not? Return for the sake of your servants, the tribes of your heritage, your holy people held possession for a little while. Our adversaries have trampled down your sanctuary. We have become like those over whom you have never ruled, like those you who are not called by your name. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things that we did not look for, you came down. The mountains quaked at your presence. From of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear. No eye has seen a God besides you who acts for those who wait for him. Our text is from Isaiah. And Isaiah was referred to in one of tonight's hymns that we have already sung. It was the second verse of Lo, how a rose air blooming, which says, Isaiah was foretold it. And what was Isaiah foretold? Well, he was foretold about Jesus's coming into this world. He wrote down what he was foretold. They are well-known prophecies. There is Isaiah 7, verse 1. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And the passages from Isaiah 9 and Isaiah 11 have already been part of our service. And Isaiah made more prophetic passages and statements, images where he would say what the Lord would be like and the nature of his ministry when he was on earth. And these are all wonderful promises that have a whole lot to do with Christmas. But tonight we consider another verse written by Isaiah, and it was part of this prayer that we just read. Isaiah had a deep longing, and he expressed it to the Lord in Isaiah 64, verse 1. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence. What was the setting for Isaiah making this appeal? Well, Isaiah's frame of mind, I think, is significant. There is clearly a restlessness on Isaiah's part. There is a, Lord, where are you? Lord, have you forgotten us? Frame of mind. He is concerned about his own spiritual life, and he was concerned about the spiritual life of Israel, the people of God. And we see this frame of mind in Isaiah in chapter 63, verse 15. He says, look down from heaven and see, from your holy and beautiful habitation. Where are your zeal and your might? The stirring of your inner parts and your compassion are held back from me. Two verses later, verse 17. O Lord, why do you make us wander from your ways and harden our heart so that we fear you not? Return for the sake of your servants. And then verse 19. We become like those over whom you have never ruled, like those who are not called by your name. I suspect most of us have had moments similar to Isaiah's. Like Isaiah, we have wondered if the Lord has forgotten us or forgotten our particular circumstances in our lives. We wonder if he's holding back his blessings from his church, the body of Christ. There is something that often happens when we find ourselves feeling that way. What we often do is we remember a time in the past when the Lord was clearly with us, when he was at work, when we knew for sure that he had not forgotten us. And we compare our present situation with that time in the past. And that is exactly what Isaiah does in this passage. He remembered how the Lord had worked in the past, particularly in the days of Moses. Earlier in chapter 63, he draws attention to those days. Verse 11, then he remembered the days of old of Moses and his people. Where is he who brought them up out of the sea? Where is he who put in the midst of them his Holy Spirit? Isaiah remembered how God had opened the heavens in the days of Moses, leading the people on dry land through the sea as they escaped Egypt. And then how he led them through the wilderness for 40 years. And he would have remembered how God had provided for his people, bringing manna from heaven and water from the rock. And he would have remembered how Moses met with God on the mountain, and there was thunder and fire and his holy presence as God opened his heavens. And God had opened his heaven in those days, but things seemed different now. So Isaiah prayed, oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. And what is the rending of heavens? What is the picture that is painted with this verse? Among other things, it speaks of a view of reality. In our Advent messages this year, Dr. Thomas and Dr. Flora have been reminding us of our biblical view of reality compared to the world around us. The dominant view of reality in our day is that life is made up of matter and energy. The life we live in this cosmos comes from matter and energy, and matter and energy alone. And we have seen that this does not explain life as we know it. The existence of an infinite, personal God, the God that we discover in the Bible, is the only satisfactory explanation for a life with meaning and beauty and justice and love. And Isaiah believes this view of reality, but he builds on it as he prays this prayer. And his prayer reminds us that God not only exists, but can and does get intimately and powerfully involved in the affairs of life. And he is involved when, and he is involved if he opens, if he rends his heaven. And God is one who can choose to close the heavens. Isaiah felt like that is what he was doing. He was wondering if God had forgotten them. And other times it appears as if he opens this heaven, but only just a crack. But to experience even a crack of heavenly realities is a wonderful thing. A crack is really more than we deserve as a sinful people. And we cannot be believers unless God has at least cracked his heaven and sent his Holy Spirit to change our hearts in response to the good news about Jesus Christ and what he has done for us on the cross of Calvary. And every time the Lord meets us when we pray, he is cracking his heavens. And every time we gather for worship and he responds to our call to be present, he's cracking, he's opening his heavens. But Isaiah's prayer was, rend the heavens. And we can ask, has his prayer ever been fully answered? And there's reason to believe that as Pentecost happened, the fullness of God's Spirit came upon believers. And as the church, as was recorded in Acts 2, and it happened because the heavens were rend. Then there was the amazing growth and expansion of the early church. And the only explanation is that God opened his heaven and moves in the power of the gospel. And church history records seasons of revival and reformation, and they wouldn't have happened unless God was opening the portholes of heaven itself. But there's a moment in time and history when the Lord rent the heavens like no other. And it was when the angels from the realm of glory came and proclaimed, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And God opened the heavens as wide as he possibly could when he so loved the world that he gave his only Son. That Son was born in Bethlehem and laid in a manger. And that was the defining moment in all of history when the Lord demonstrated that he has not forgotten us. It's kind of amazing to see how Christmas music captures so much of this reality that the scriptures teach to us. From a little town of Bethlehem, we find the word silently, oh, how silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. And from silent night, holy night, we find glory stream from heaven afar. Heavenly hosts sing hallelujah. And angels from the realm of glory reminds us, angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. Who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Isaiah's prayer was heard. Isaiah's prayer was answered. God did rend his heaven, and he sent Jesus. So what is your frame of mind tonight? Are you restless? Are you wondering perhaps if God has forgotten you, or in particular forgotten your circumstances? Are you wondering if blessings from heaven, from the realms of glory, are being withheld from his people? What I would urge us all to join Isaiah. Urge us to turn to the God of heaven and earth, to the God of the realms of glory, to call upon him to open, yea, even rend his heavens and to pour out his blessings. And what is it we might expect? Well, I'm reminded of Paul's words found in Romans 8, verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. In other words, he who was willing to rend the heavens and send his son, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? May this Christmas, may you and your family and our church family know and continue to know the blessings from the realms of glory as the Lord opens, even rends his heavens. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord God, we do come to you grateful that you are there, that you are the only explanation for life as we find it. But we would praise you tonight that you have not stood far off, that you have not forgotten us, and that in the sending of Jesus Christ into the world, you have demonstrated for all time and all history that you exist and that you care for us. So, Lord, we come this night asking that you might continue to be a God who, on the basis of what Jesus has done and accomplished, open the heavens, continue to open them, that we might know all the riches of the blessings that are ours through Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.